When I was in seminary, one of my professors was named Dr. Youngho Chun. Dr. Chun was the professor of systematic theology, which is the idea that we can formulate an orderly, rational, and coherent account of the Christian faith. We accomplish this by asking questions, even though we won't always know the answers. Dr. Chun was a big proponent of post-modernity, the idea that we are beyond the time of Christendom, and therefore theology begins to become, what was his favorite word, fuzzy. He believed we didn't always have a clear grasp on the answer, that it was on us to keep asking the questions. He was a very tough professor. He had a reputation as being a difficult professor. It was hard to get a good grade in his classes. Many people steered well clear of his classes. About the third year of my five-year seminary journey, though, I took Dr. Chun on a class on systematic theology with many of my peers in seminary. The way the class was structured over that semester was our grade would be based on three tests. About a third of the way through the semester, we'd have a test. About two-thirds of the way through the semester, we'd have another test. And then at the end of the semester, we'd have our final. The final would be worth 50% of our grade, half. Half of our grade would be the final. The other two tests were a quarter each, 25% each. As the first test approached, I had gone to every class. I had taken good notes. I had read the readings. As I was studying for that first test, I wanted to do well on it. So I went back over some of the readings. I went through all my class notes again. What did we talk about? What was said? Really, I studied hard. I wanted to get a good grade on this test. I studied and studied. The day of the test finally came. I was confident. I knew the answers. I'm good. I walked in. He handed us the test. I sat down, confident that I knew what I was doing, that I had the answers he was looking for. I did the test, handed it back in. The next week we got it back, C minus. Not exactly what I was hoping for, right? I'd actually put some effort into studying for this test. I didn't always do that, so I was like, kind of disappointed. Could have done better than that, right? So the class goes on. I'm taking even more diligent notes now, right? On this next test, I'm going to get it. So the next test, that second test, about two-thirds of the way through is approaching, and I'm studying for it. I'm rereading the text, going back over my class notes two or three times. I'm going to be ready. I will have the answers this time. I went in to take the test. He handed us the test. I was confident. I knew what he wanted. I had all the answers. C minus. Now we're coming up on the end of the semester. The final was a different beast altogether. It was half of my grade was going to be on the final. I was a little frustrated. I had not done as well as I had hoped on those previous two tests. They had not turned out like I'd hoped they turned out. The final was a larger test. It was so much larger, in fact, that it was a take-home test. He gave it to us on a Monday and said, have this back in class on Friday. Filled out and done. I had 5 days to work on it. I didn't do much on it Monday or Tuesday. Wednesday, I tried to figure out what is it that I'm doing wrong, right? Obviously, I'm doing something wrong. I've been studying hard and getting a C minus. What's going on? Thursday, I got distracted by something, I'm sure. So we get to Friday morning. The class is at 1 o'clock. So because I'm a good student, I'm in the computer lab when it opens at 9 a.m. to do my five-day test in 3 hours. Because that's just good student there. That just has A-plus written all over it, doesn't it? I sat down at the computer. I looked at the first question. I read it and I reread it. And as I sat there with that whole semester of notes and lectures and readings and two tests that I had not done as well as I'd hoped on, I looked at that first question and I thought to myself, you know what? I don't know. So I started typing. I referenced things that we talked about in class, things that had been in the reading. But essentially what I did on each, there was two pages of essay questions, by the way, is what it was. On each one of them, as I typed my answer out, I would ask more questions. At no point did I offer a definitive answer to anything. I simply asked more questions. And those questions led to more questions. And I put them all on the page. On each question as I went through, that's what I did. I did not offer a solid answer to anything at all. I simply asked questions. Some of my friends were in the lab during this time. They saw me working. They asked, is that Dr. Chun's test? It was. They asked if I had just started on it that morning. I had. They asked where I'd like them to send the flowers of condolence. But here is where I was. I had tried doing it myself, studying, rereading, and I hadn't. I had failed to grasp what Dr. Chun wanted. So I stopped and I asked myself, what is he looking for? This man who is a proponent and a teacher of a system that asks hard questions without necessarily knowing the answers. And that's when I realized he wanted us to see our lack of answers, to realize our own shortcomings. He wanted us to ask questions without knowing what the answers were. I turned the test in at 1 p.m., got it back the next week, I got an A. Finished with a B in the class, that A was worth half my grade. I did develop a little bit of a reputation as the guy who waited till the last minute to do a Dr. Chun test and get an A on it. But it wasn't that I didn't study. It wasn't that I wasn't prepared. I just relaxed and asked myself, what is it he really wants? Today is the first Sunday of Lent, this 40-day journey to Easter. Lent is a metaphor. It's a facsimile of real life, of the journey of life that we are all on. This path that we walk down, we all know where it ends. It ends the same for each of us. No matter our age, no matter our status in this life, this path always has the same end. And every day we take another step closer to it, closer to the end, to the finish, to the conclusion. Of course, another step closer to death. And that's why we celebrate Easter every year. Yes, death is waiting for me at the end of my journey, but I am saved and set free by the grace of God, the love of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit. Death will not have the final word. What is waiting at the end of my journey of life is Easter, new life, resurrection, the morning that breaks even after my last night has come. But Lent is not about the end. We all know what's at the end. Easter's at the end. But Lent is the road we walk to get there. Lent is about preparation, about examination, about recognition of our sin and our mistakes and our shortfalls, and coming to the realization that we are loved, we are forgiven, we are made whole by a God that already knew all about our shortcomings and loved us anyway. Lent is about the journey. Not just this 40 days, but that journey of life that we know ends in the same place for all of us. But we're not there yet. We have a long road until we arrive and many, many trials and tests between now and then. In the early church, it was felt that Christians needed to prepare ourselves for Easter morning by taking this time for self-reflection and examination and repentance. We needed to get ourselves ready for the glory of Easter by seeing our sins and giving them up, by emulating Jesus' sacrifices and trials. The model the church chose for this season was Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness when he was preparing to start his ministry. To get ready, Jesus went into the desert, into the wilderness for 40 days. He didn't eat, but instead focused on his mission, his purpose, his connection to God. He was getting himself ready, not just for the ministry of healing and wholeness he would embark on for the next 3 years, but ultimately preparing himself for the test that was at the end. The crucifixion and burial and resurrection that would mark Easter. Luke tells us in the 4th chapter, the 1st verse, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, where he had been baptized by John, was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. That may be the biggest understatement in the Bible. Jesus didn't eat for 40 days, and then he was hungry. Okay. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." The first test Jesus faced is when he's hungry, when his stomach is growling, when all he can think about is the food he doesn't have. The devil hits him where it hurts. "Turn these stones into bread. You know you could do it." Often our tests on our journey hit us where we are weakest, where we are most vulnerable, where we are hungriest. Temptation knows where we will falter first, and it never fails to go for that soft underbelly, that weakness. How many times have I been a week into a diet and all of a sudden my Facebook feed is filled with videos about food? Making food, eating food, getting food. It's all I can see all of a sudden. Everything I turn on the TV is about food. It's that temptation hitting me where I'm weakest. Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. The devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." If our weakest point won't work, temptation tries our pride, our vanity, our greed. Give in and you'll be rich, you'll be famous, you'll be powerful. Cut some corners. Stab some people in the back. You didn't like them anyway. And you'll have everything you want. Jesus reminds us what our first pursuit should be in his answer, though. Worshiping and praising God, that comes before my ambition, my desire, my selfishness. Then the devil took him to Jerusalem, placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it's written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you." See what the devil did here. He couldn't break through on Jesus' weakness. He couldn't break through on his vanity and greed. So he goes after his faith. Notice in each of his answers, Jesus starts by saying, "It is written." For every trial he faces, he's addressing it with Scripture. So this time, Satan uses Scripture too. "Throw yourself off of here, because it is written, his angels will save you." Jesus replies, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Temptation will always challenge our faith. If you're all that, prove it. Put yourself in a bad situation and let God rescue you. The problem with this test is I've already put myself in a bad situation and asked God to rescue me, and he did. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There are no more bad situations I won't be saved from. I have been saved and set free already. This is the Easter realization. I know what waits at the end of this journey. I already know the ultimate test is coming, and I have that answer. But Lent is the journey to get there. Lent is my everyday, my daily walk. When I stumble and fail, when I fall short and make mistakes. At the end of this, I know that Easter is waiting, but it's a long journey between now and then. And we will be tested. Every day, temptation will nibble at the edges of our life, reminding us of our imperfections and blemishes. It'll challenge us to give in to our weakness, to seek the things of this world instead of the things of God. It will ask us to prove that faith that we stand on. And each time we are tested, and each time we get through it, and each time we take that next step, there will always be another test. At the end of the scripture, in Luke 4:13, it says, when the devil had finished every test on Jesus, he departed from him until an opportune time. The devil tried three times to test Jesus. It didn't work. He didn't give up. He just paused. He knew there'd be more opportunities for tests down the road. He was waiting for that opportune time. Every test that I get through that I hope and pray is going to be the last one on my journey, I have to realize that there's going to be another opportune time. There's going to be another moment when I am tested again. There will always be tests. We will always be tested. What we must remember is that we have that final answer. The last test has already been taken and been passed, but the journey remains. Jesus' trials in the desert strengthened him, steeled his resolve for what was coming, prepared him for the tests he had yet to face. Our Lenten journey stands to prepare us, to build us up, to give us strength for the next step, the next day, the next test. Easter is coming. And I can't wait because I've been saved and set free by a Savior who loves me and forgives me and redeems me. But until we get there, these everydays, these daily steps, they will test us. May we answer each test not as if we have all the answers, but confident that we have the final answer. And we know what he wants. Amen.